Turn to Philippians. I'm on, right? Okay, good. You know, sometimes I teach so many times that sometimes I get stuck and I go, what am I going to teach today? So then what I do is I usually pray. I pray anyway. I always pray when I teach because I want to make sure I do the right thing. And then I start reading, and I just happened to go to Philippians and saw this verse and started working in it, and it was kind of fun. So Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." So this is a pretty cool verse, and there's a lot of things in it. Number one, it says we are the circumcision of God. What does that mean? Well, you know that Israel was the circumcision in the flesh, right? That way back, God promised Abraham promises, made a covenant with him, and he sealed that covenant with the sign of circumcision, which was in the flesh, right? It was a fleshly thing. But here it says, we are the circumcision. It doesn't say that we have to get circumcised, does it? So we're the circumcision, not in the flesh like Israel, but we are circumcision because we have Holy Spirit, that seed. And so consequently, we are to worship or serve God in the Spirit. In the words, worship there is really serve. It's the word that means to serve. Kind of interesting, huh? You know, we serve him in the Spirit. And that word for Spirit there is the new birth Spirit. And rejoice in Christ Jesus. And the word rejoice is the word boast. Brag, boast. We boast in Christ Jesus. And have no confidence in the flesh. In other words, we don't rely on the flesh. We don't focus on the flesh. Obviously, we have flesh, don't we? And we're raised our whole lives, basically, in the world, is all about the flesh. You know, about having things and accomplishing and building up your body and looking good and being smart and having a great personality and, you know, developing talents and all the other stuff. But that's all about the flesh, isn't it? Not about the Spirit. So we're going to look at these four things a little bit and see what the Word says about these four things. So the first thing we're going to look at is that we are the circumcision of God. And, of course, I just told you the circumcision was the sign God gave to Abraham and Israel for all the promises he made to Abraham. It was a seal of their covenant. And a seal in the Bible refers to, you know, where they would have a document and they would melt some kind of wax on it. And then they would have a signet ring or a seal and they would stamp it, you know, the king's seal, his official whatever it would be. You know, like today we have the great seal of the United States. And you see it on the when the president speaks or, you know, in Congress, you know, you have this round thing and it says the United States of America and it's the Great Seal. Okay. So, and that would represent what they would stamp. They don't do that anymore, but they may have an embosser where they do it. So that's what a seal, a sign is. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 4 because it talks about this and about Abraham in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." And what does that mean? It means blessed. You know, you're blessed, you're praised because God does not impute sin to you. He doesn't count your sin, basically. He doesn't put it on your ledger. He doesn't account your sin. verse 9, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, which is referring to Israel. You know, Israel is referred to as the circumcision. You know, you could say, does this come to Israel only? But it says here, circumcision only, which is just a figure of speech using that thing that represented the covenant that God made to Abraham in place of saying Israel. Okay? Or upon the uncircumcision only, which would be what? The Gentiles, right? Because God says there's three kinds of people, Jews, Gentiles, and the church of God. So the circumcision were Israel, the uncircumcision were Gentiles. For we say that faith or believing was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. And if you go back in the Old Testament, it says that God made a promise to Abraham and Abraham believed. And so then God reckoned unto him righteousness or justness, or he justified him. Okay. For was it then reckoned when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. So, you know, Abraham believed, God reckoned him righteous, made a covenant with him, and then he said, okay, I'm going to give you the sign. So he reckoned him righteous before he gave him the sign of circumcision. He was still in uncircumcision. So basically, he was still a Gentile. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. You know, and the Jews, as they went hundreds of years down the road, they took the seal and the sign to mean they were righteous, rather than it was a sign of the righteousness that Abraham got because he believed. So they didn't believe, except they believed that the circumcision made him righteous, not the believing. So that's how it screwed them up. So, you know, they're so proud. Oh, I'm circumcised, so I'm righteous before God, and I'm special. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So, you know, God made this great promise so that the uncircumcised also could be blessed and become righteous if they believed. For the and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith or that believing of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. So what was the most important thing, the circumcision or the believing? It was the believing, right? For the promise, verse 13, that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of believing. It wasn't the sign that made them righteous. It was the believing that made them righteous. It was just a seal. That's all. So what a great thing. It was a sign or a seal of righteousness. Now let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 8. It says, everybody there? Beware. Beware of dog. You see that on fences, right, or on the doors. And so what does that mean when it says beware? Watch out. Pay attention. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Well, what are we to be aware of? Well, it's the fleshly stuff, right? It's the philosophy of the world. It's the rudiments of the world. You know, what are the rudiments of the world? All the stuff that goes on in the world, basically. Outward ordinances I have in my notes. Traditions. It's all after flesh, right? Yeah. It's all fleshly stuff. So God says, beware of that any man spoil you with all the stuff, you know, fancy words and fancy traditions and fancy ordinances. And they may sound good, they may look good, but goes on, for in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He makes that comparison and contrast. You know, the contrast is between the rudiments of the world, the philosophy, the traditions, as opposed to Christ. And it says, for in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Not in the traditions, not in keeping ordinances, not in eating the right foods at the right time, not in keeping holy days, not in anything. Being a goody-goody. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We are complete in Christ. Complete. It's a spiritual completeness, right? It's not a, you know, obviously we're not physically complete because then we'd all look perfect all the time. But spiritually perfect, complete. Verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Now, circumcision, you know, by definition is what? It's a cutting of the flesh, right? It's a cutting away of the flesh. And yet here, we are the circumcision made without hands, which what's it referring to? Who we are in Christ, what we have because of Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's without hands. It's not a physical circumcision, but a spiritual circumcision. In putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And then it goes on and says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through faith, or believing of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Okay? And so we didn't do anything. We didn't do anything but believe. But because we believed in Jesus Christ and we received Holy Spirit, we were made complete and we have the circumcision made without hands. We're forgiven from all sins and we're righteous before God. What a great thing. It's not a circumcision. It's an incredible thing. Let me see. In verse 11 it says, read this again, in whom also ye are circumcision with the circumcision made without hands in putting off the body. Okay? Now, the word of the sins is not in the Greek. It's omitted. So it really reads, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands and putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Pretty cool. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 12. It says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. Sealed up. You know, you had God's stamp of approval. You're guaranteed, you're sealed. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And what does that mean? Well, we're sealed. And it is the earnest of our inheritance, the down payment, the token, the guarantee that we will receive our inheritance. And we will be gathered together. You know, the redemption of the purchased possession is us. We are, as a body of Christ, the purchased possession. Jesus Christ purchased us for God with his life, his death, and his resurrection. And that Holy Spirit is our seal, our guarantee that we are that purchased possession, and we will be be gathered together. We'll be redeemed at that time. So that's why we are the circumcision of God. Pretty great. Second thing is we worship or serve God spiritually. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. You know, and this all stuff is to all of us, and it doesn't matter who we are, how long we've been believers, how much we've done, what we haven't done, where we've gone, who we know. Doesn't matter, does it? It's to you personally and to us as a body. Chapter 9 of Hebrews, verse 14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And that word to serve is the word douleo, you know, to be a bondslave to God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. You know, so he has purged us of all our everything, dead works. Dead works are in the flesh. And we serve God. And how do we serve God? Spiritually. You know, we serve God in the Spirit. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that word service there is that same word as worship in Philippians 3:3. It means, you know, Bullinger says religious service, but it's latruo, it's our service, our reasonable service. And, you know, God doesn't command us, does he? He says, I beseech you, which means I lovingly implore or beg by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, to give your life to God, you know. And when you give your life to God, it's holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. You know, in light of all that God has done for us, in light of sending his son, in light of how much he loves us and how much he gave to us, it is a reasonable thing to give your whole life fully committed to God to serve him wholly and without blame. Makes sense. So, we are to worship or serve God. And then it's in the Spirit, and that's in light of the new birth Spirit, right? The new birth Spirit. And then the third thing is we rejoice or boast in Christ Jesus. So go to Romans chapter 5. And why would we want to boast or brag in Christ Jesus? Well, look what he did. You know, people have heroes. You know, people have heroes. People have idols. That's a stupid term. He's an idol. Teenage idols, you know, that was a big term. But our hero is Jesus Christ. He saved us. He paid the great price. You know, if you're going to brag or boast about anything, how about Christ Jesus? Chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith or believing, we have peace with God through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God and we're justified by believing through our Lord Jesus Christ because of what he did for us. For what he did for us. Verse 2, by whom? By our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we have access by faith or believing into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice. The word rejoice is boast in the hope of the glory of God. You know, we boast, you know, because it's through Jesus Christ in the hope of the glory of God, meaning, you know, we're going to be with Jesus Christ. He's going to gather us together and we're going to be with him forever. What a great thing. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 7. That in the ages to come, ages is ions or eons, right? And, you know, the English definition of an eon is a huge, unmeasurable amount of time, I guess. You know, like we call a millennia a thousand years. We don't really know in Greek if that's what it means, but we think it means that. But eon is ages, you know, ages and ages. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what?
Boast.
You know, we can't boast about what we did. We can only boast about what Jesus Christ did and what he did in us. That's a cool thing when you think about it. You know, it's not, we're not any great shakes on our own. But with Christ in us, we can do all things. How about that? And so it says, and then it says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, it's not, we're not saved because of good works. We're saved unto good works. You know, we're not the, we can't boast in the works we do because it's the works that God enables us to do because it's Christ in us. And he created us unto good works. And those good works are spiritual works. You know, they may manifest in the physical world sometimes. You know, God works in you and he tells you that somebody needs something and you just know it and you show up and give it to them and it blesses their life and does something to help them through something or, you know, believe bigger or whatever, or heals them up in some way. But it's not the giving of the thing or doing of the thing. It's the God working in your heart to do it. You know, that's really the main key to it. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. So probably back a page or a half a page. Chapter 6, verse 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that you may glory in your flesh. This was something that was going on in the churches of Galatia, and Paul was teaching them the great mystery and the grace of God, and that it's not by works, lest any man should boast, and all that stuff we just read. And then these Jews were coming in who got born again, but they were saying, well, you still need to be circumcised. You still need to do the law. You know, so they were saying, you need to be circumcised to keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that you may glory in your flesh, like they were doing. But God forbid that I should glory or boast save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. We're not supposed to boast in the flesh, but we're to boast in Jesus Christ and the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that made the way where there was no way. He's the one that enabled us. He's the one that made Holy Spirit available to us by his sacrifice and his deeds. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, but unto them which are called both Jews, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. That kind of puts everything in perspective. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, no flesh should boast in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know, that's what we do. We glory in the Lord. We boast in Christ Jesus because it's because of him we have wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Just makes you thankful. And fourth and finally, consequently, we have no confidence in the flesh. Our confidence is in the power of God and the Word of God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Chapter 3 of Proverbs, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, when we lean to our own understanding, what are we doing? Trying to figure things out on our own. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways. You know, there's nothing too big, there's nothing too small, there's nothing in between that God won't help us with, direct our paths with, you know, and show us what to do or how to do it or what's the best thing to do. I don't care what it is. He'll help us in any situation. People get too busy, I guess, sometimes. God never gets too busy. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, or respect the Lord, and depart from evil. And it shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. And of course, the marrow of the bones, you know, way back then, they wrote this, or God had Solomon write this, but it has to do with where the blood is manufactured for the body, right? The marrow. You know, when somebody has leukemia, which is a cancer of the blood, what do? They do a bone marrow transplant to try to heal up the marrow and to have it produce healthy blood, you know? Way back, thousands of years ago, God put that in his word. Nobody knew that back then. They didn't understand that. Pretty cool. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Chapter 1 of Romans, verse 16, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation or wholeness to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, it's the power of God. The word of God is the power of God. We trust in the Lord. That means we trust in his word, right? We trust in God. We trust in his word. We trust in the work and the power of what God did for us through Jesus Christ. That's where we trust. That's where we have confidence, not in our flesh. And let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 9. Of course, this is Paul writing to Timothy. giving him some good instruction. And it says in verse 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That's a pretty cool statement. This is a faithful saying, meaning it's reliable, it's trustworthy, it's accurate, and worthy of all acceptation, meaning you should not have a single doubt about what I'm going to tell you. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially to those that believe. You know, and then he says, these things command and teach. God is the Savior of all men, to those, and especially those that believe. And we believe, so it's especially true of us. And it's worthy of all acceptation. So let's go back to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 3 again. It says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. We are the circumcision. We're the circumcision made without hands. We have the sign of Holy Spirit that we are God's, that he keeps his promises to us, just like circumcision was the sign that he kept the promises to Israel. You know, and the promises to us are far greater than the promises to Israel. So, for we are the circumcision which worship or serve God in the Spirit, in the new birth spirit, and rejoice or boast in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You know, we rely on God and his word and the power of God, and we boast in what God has done for us through Christ Jesus our Lord. So, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us and blessing us and for showing these great truths to us in your word, how you are our all in all. You are our sufficiency, our strength, that you take care of every need, that you are always there for us in every way. You are a loving God and a tender God and the greatest Father that anyone could ever have. And we just thank you, God, that we are yours and you are ours for all eternity. And we certainly are thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, and it's in his name that we pray and praise you. And it's in his name, Jesus Christ. Amen.